All right, how are you guys doing tonight? Good. I felt the excitement when I got here, and I said, man, I am definitely at velocity. That's for sure. Well, it's good to be back with you guys. I don't know if you guys, some of you guys probably don't even know me. You're like, back? What are you talking about? You've never been here. Well, I used to serve here a couple years back, so the eighth graders are probably the only ones that remember me. Good. Right on. Glad to see that there are some eighth graders in the house. I don't want to talk about myself, though. Nothing really cool to say about me. I want to talk about the Lord. I want to talk about the Bible. So let's go ahead and get into that right away. Let's go ahead and pray with me, and then we'll get into the Bible. Heavenly Father, we just thank you so much for your goodness, for your kindness, for your faithfulness. You truly are beautiful to us. And Lord, you're so worthy of our worship. You're so worthy of not only the songs that we sing, but you're worthy of lives lived for you. Lives sold out for the gospel and for our Lord Jesus Christ. And so, God, I pray that our worship wouldn't end with song. I pray that our worship would continue into the teaching and that our worship would continue when we leave here into our lives. But God, we ask that you would meet us here now, that you would speak to us by your word, that you would help us to understand. Holy Spirit, open our eyes, enlighten us to the truth of the Bible, and that God, help us to apply what we learn to our lives. So God, bless this time, we pray in Jesus' name. Amen. Now, have you guys ever had a time in your lives when you were super stoked about something that at the exact same time you were completely confused about? You're like stoked out of your mind, but you don't know what you're doing. You're just really, really excited. Of course, you don't want everybody to know you're confused and you don't know what's going on. You just want everybody to know you're excited. Well, one of the times that I remember this happening with me was actually when I was serving here in Velocity. A couple years back, Kevin and I decided, let's do a guys paintball event. And so we're saying, all right, that'll be sweet. I got so excited about this paintball event. And every time Kevin and I would come up here to do the announcements, we would just be waging war with all of the guys. We're like, yeah, we're going to take you guys out. You guys are going down. If maybe for some reason you like pain and the taste of paint, then sign up for this event because you're going to love it. We're taking you guys out. And I was just so stoked. I'm like, I can't wait to just be shooting these little middle schoolers down. That's what I was all about. I'm just like, I'm going to take these guys out. Going on and on and on about how hardcore we were, how we were going to show no mercy. But the thing was, I've never been paintballing before in my life. Had never seen a paintball gun, had no knowledge whatsoever about paintball. Well, the day of the event comes around and I show up to Hinkle. This is where the event's going down. We're doing it at Hinkle Family Fun Center. So I show up at Hinkle and I've got like a ghetto pair of sweats on under my pants, like trying to protect myself. I've got a long sleeve shirt on, just like, you know, I don't want to get hit. So I'm just kind of protecting myself. I've got $10 in my pocket to like rent one of their guns. And all of a sudden, as I'm walking up to Hinkle, I start seeing all of these middle schoolers like with outfits on. They got like the paintball gear. These dudes are sponsored and all kinds of stuff. It's like they got black bags that they're carrying their own paintball guns in. They're like, they own their own guns. And I'm just like, oh no. I start thinking, maybe I got myself into something I really wasn't ready for. So I start getting worried, but I'm like, all right, no problem. I just, you know, I'm cool with these guys. So I start going up to give like the guys a pound. Hey, what's up, bro? And they're all, no, you don't even come over and talk to me, dude. You're going down. You've been talking all kinds of smack. Now it's time to go down. And I'm like, oh no. Then the guy like working at Hinkle, he comes and he's all, so dude, here's your gun and here's your face mask. I'm all, face mask? You mean these guys are going to be shooting at my face? He's all, oh yeah, totally, man. So you're going to probably want to keep that bad boy on all the time. So I'm looking around the room, starting to freak out, looking at all these middle schoolers, and everybody that I catch eye contact with is just doing this number to me. And I'm like, oh, start getting scared. Then I get on the field. I get out on the field, and it's just like every gun is aimed at me. And of course, Kevin's like, oh, yeah, I got to take pictures for the website, man. So you go ahead and go out there and have a good time. So after we've both been talking all of this smack, he's just like, no, he probably went out there a couple times. But it felt like just every gun was aimed at me. And I'm just like getting hit a ridiculous amount of times. I'm actually glad that that face mask was there because, yeah, yellow paintball right in the face. I don't even think I was even pulling the trigger. I was just so scared. People would come out and they'd be all, yeah, I think Isaac hit me in the arm. And I'm all, oh, yeah, that was me. But I wasn't even shooting. I was just like sitting behind a barricade going, oh, paintball's hurt. And I think I just got myself into something. I don't know what I'm doing here. I was just like, oh, man, so stoked about going paintball gunning, but having absolutely no idea what I was doing, how to do it. And the thing was, my excitement, the fact that I was all stoked, did nothing for me when it was time to grab a paintball gun and get out there and do it. My excitement did nothing for me. My lack of knowledge and understanding didn't help me out at all. And what we're going to look at today is the fact that it's like this when it comes to spiritual matters as well. There are some people out there when it comes to Christianity or when it comes to God who they're stoked. They're stoked about God, but completely confused at the same time. So go ahead and turn with me to Romans chapter 10. That's where we're going to be tonight. Romans chapter 10. As you guys are turning there, regenerate the youth ministry at Calvary Santa Fe, we're going through the book of Romans, and it's been awesome. I would encourage any of you guys and all of you guys to study the book of Romans. It's been called The Christian Faith Summarized. So you want to know more about the Christian faith? Get familiar with Romans. Study it during your quiet times. You will be blessed. So let's go ahead and look at our text. Romans chapter 10, if you're there, starting in verse 1. It says, brothers, my heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. For being ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God and seeking to establish their own, they did not submit to God's righteousness. For Christ is the end of the law for righteousness to everyone who believes. So the first point that we're going to look at tonight, if you're taking notes on your bulletins, is number one, a heart of gold. A heart of gold. Now this book is a letter written to the church in Rome by Paul the Apostle. And he says, Paul the Apostle says in verse 1, that his heart's desire and prayer to God for them is that they may be saved. Now who's he talking about? Who is them? Well, in this letter to the church in Rome, Paul the Apostle has turned his focus to the nation of Israel, the Jews, his people, because Paul the Apostle was a Jew. And so what is Paul's heart? He says, my heart for them is that these guys would be saved. Paul's greatest desire was that his family members, his friends, everybody that he knew that didn't know Christ, his heart's desire was that they would be saved. How awesome is that? What a heart for this guy. His greatest desire is that people would get saved, that people would come to know Christ. He said earlier in Romans chapter 9, verse 3, for I could wish that I myself were accursed and cut off from Christ for the sake of my brothers. So in other words, he's saying, if there were a way that I could lose my own salvation so that other people could get saved, I'd do it. I'd lose my own salvation so other people could get saved. Now, of course, Paul the Apostle knows that that can't happen. But he's just saying, that's how bad I want people to get saved. I'd give up my own salvation for others. He wanted people to get saved. He wanted people to come to know the Lord Jesus more than anything. That was his heart's greatest desire. What is our heart's greatest desire? Is that it? That people would get saved? How many of you guys remember the Disney movie Aladdin? You guys remember it? Pretty old school. But it's one of my favorite Disney movies, mainly because of the genie. The genie's like so awesome, my favorite Disney character and all that. If I could be like someone, it would probably be the genie. Just kidding. But let's say you got hooked up with the genie for a day, right? You got hooked up with the genie. There he is standing before you in all of his blue glory. And he gives you three wishes, right? You get three wishes. What's your first wish? What would be your first wish? Because that's your heart's greatest desire. Whatever you would wish for first, that's your heart's greatest desire. So what is it? Is it the crib like the movie stars have? Maybe it's the sweet ride with the spinners, 24s, dropped, ready to go. I don't know what Kevin would ask for. What do you guys think Kevin would, what would his first wish be? A milkshake, unlimited food, that would probably be it. Mine as well. What's that? Oh, that would be his, that's an interesting name. But think about it. What would your first wish be? Would it be those kind of things that we've talked about? Or would it be, you know what? My brother is not walking with the Lord right now. He's grown up in church. We've all grown up in church, and now he's just blowing it. And he's unsaved. And my heart's desire, my first wish, is that my brother would be saved. Or I know this person at school, and they're completely off, and they say that they're atheist, or they're a Wicca, and they're pulling out the Harry Potter wand, and they like to cast spells and all this stuff. I want them to come to know Christ. How much do we care about our people? How much do we care about our family members? How much do we care about our friends, the people we go to school with, our generation? How much do we care? How concerned are we with their salvation? How much do we care whether or not they go to hell? Paul cared a lot about his people. Paul cared a lot about his people. He cared more about them than he did himself. He was willing to give up his own salvation if he could. Can we say the same? I hope we can. And if we can't, then maybe we will be able to say that after tonight. Maybe by God's grace, He would transform our hearts. He would change our desires and give us a desire for the lost. Give us a desire that others would come to know the Lord and have the hope that we have. Check out verse 2. And we'll see our second point. Number two, a lack of knowledge. A lack of knowledge. Look at verse 2. I bear them witness that they have a zeal for God, but not according to knowledge. So what's Paul recognizing here? These guys were just like I was at Hinkle, completely stoked out of my mind, but at the same time, confused. At the same time, confused. He says, I bear them witness, or in other words, what I recognize about them, what I see about these guys is that they have a zeal for God, or this excitement or enthusiasm, even devotion. Even devotion. They could even be devoted to God, but it isn't according to knowledge. It's not according to knowledge. They don't understand. They're excited about God, but they don't understand God. See, the Jews that Paul was talking about here, they loved God, but they didn't believe in Jesus Christ. They didn't believe that Christ was their Messiah. They didn't believe that Christ's sacrifice was sufficient to make us right with God. They thought, well, we have to earn our own right standing with God through the keeping of the law, through good works. And if you know anything about God, you know that that's way off. That's way off. Because salvation comes by grace, by God's grace. It comes through faith, not works. No works, no good deed that we could possibly do could ever make us right with God. Why? Because our sin needs to be dealt with. Our sin needs to be punished. There's the sin issue that good works doesn't deal with. We have sin. We've sinned. We've fallen short of God's glory, and that needs to be dealt with. And Jesus took the punishment for sin on a cross. He was crucified for sin, so that if we would believe, and that's the only thing that can make us right with God. Otherwise, if we refuse to accept that, then we've got to take our own punishment for our sin in hell. But these guys didn't understand that. They were so stoked about God, but were totally off on one of the biggest things they could possibly be off on. God's plan of salvation. God's Son. See, it's possible for somebody to be really religious, be really stoked about God, walk around wearing a t-shirt that says, God rocks, you know, and they're just, you see them praying all the time, and everything they say or do has something to do with God. And everything, the way that they live, all of it has to do with their God. And then you ask them, hey, you know, tell me about this God. And they're all, oh, dude, I'm so glad you asked, because my God is an alien from another planet. And he loves when people pray to him, and he loves pizza and chocolate milkshakes. And so do I. And so one day I'm going to get an unlimited supply of pizza and chocolate milkshakes, and that's heaven, bro. Yeah. It's like, what? Are you kidding me? That's what you believe? I thought you were all super spiritual and praying all the time, and that is what you believe? Maybe you're thinking, well, that's a little extreme, and I'm sure that it is. But let me ask you this. How many times have you seen someone who you thought was pretty spiritual, pretty excited about God, and then you come to talk to them about what they believe, and it's like, what? What are you saying about this beaded necklace that you have? And you have to say a prayer for everyone to be forgiven for things? Or you've got to go into a box and tell who your sins, and if you don't, then you're going to hell? So let me get this straight. You're saying Saturday is the Sabbath, and if I worship the Lord on Sunday, then I'm going to hell? What, I'm not saved? What's going on? Where does the Bible say all of this stuff? The thing is, it doesn't. It doesn't say any of that stuff. These guys are all excited about God, but their excitement is without any knowledge. There's zeal, there's excitement, there's even devotion, but there's no understanding. Every day we see Mormons and Jehovah's Witnesses and tons of other false religions and cults that are excited about God. Sometimes they're so excited about God that they're going to go door to door and tell everyone just how excited about God that they are. But they're so confused about who God is that the God they believe in isn't the true God at all. But Christians aren't like that, right? We have excitement for God, and we have knowledge too. Well, I don't know about that. You guys know what the Trinity is? One God, three persons, Father, Son, Holy Spirit. Well, I've heard Christians say, that's lame, that's whack, that's not true, there's no Trinity. I've heard Christians say, Jesus Christ isn't God. I've heard Christians say, well, all roads really lead to God, you know. Jesus is what is my way, my road that I choose to take. But there are other roads too. I've heard Christians say that when Jesus died on the cross, he went down into hell, where he was tortured physically and sexually, abused for 3 days before he rose again. Many Christians believe the same thing that these Jews believed. Oh, they believe in Jesus, but really Jesus' sacrifice wasn't good enough to fully purchase their salvation. So they have to add their own good works and obedience to the cross, and then, and only then, can they be saved. See what's going on here? These guys are people who may love the Lord just as much as we do, or maybe even more. But their zeal, their excitement, their devotion is not according to knowledge. They're stoked and confused. They're excited about God, but not really sure what God is all about, how to be right with God, how to have a relationship with God, how to please Him. How do you guys feel about people like this? When you encounter somebody like this that's stoked and confused, what do you think? Do you think, oh man, those people are stupid. They're fools. They're idiots. I can't believe that they think that. Do you laugh and joke about them? Ah, let's go door to door and let's get on our bikes and backpacks and let's go. Or does it make you feel so cool? You say, I'm so glad that I am not that stupid. I'm so glad that I have the true gospel. Well, let me be honest with you guys. I've had all of the above responses. I've had all of the above responses. And guess what? It was sin. Do you think that that's how God wants us to respond to these people? Do you think that's how God wants us to respond, laughing and joking and making a mockery while these people are on their way to hell? Is that how we're supposed to respond? No. I think the response that we're supposed to have to people like this is the same response that Paul had. My heart's desire and my prayer to God is that they would be saved. Pray for them. You know somebody like this? Pray for them. Talk to God about them. Talk to them about God. Show them what the Bible says about God, about salvation, about heaven, all of these things. Show them what the Bible says. Because remember, you only know what you know because by God's grace, somebody told you. Somebody brought you to church. You heard the gospel and you were able to respond to it. But maybe some of you guys are stoked and confused, all excited about God, but you don't have much knowledge. Well, I think we all start out there. Somebody shared the gospel with you. They told you about your sin and that you were on your way to hell, but God had made a way so that you didn't have to go there, that Christ died on the cross in your place so that you would repent and believe and you could go to heaven and be forgiven and have a right relationship with God. And you were stoked. You were like, yeah, you know, I'll raise my hand and I'll pray this prayer. And sweet, I'm all excited. I'm going to heaven. But like, you didn't know everything else that this Bible says. You didn't have all kinds of knowledge, all kinds of understanding. We all start out that way. And that's normal. But once we give our lives to Christ, we don't want to stay confused. We don't want to stay lacking knowledge. We want to dedicate ourselves to the study of the Bible. If we love God, we're going to want to know how to please Him. We're going to want to know what He likes and what He doesn't like, what He wants us to do and what He doesn't want us to do. Jesus said that true worshipers worship in spirit and in truth. We've got to know the truth. We've got to know what the Bible says. It's cool to be stoked, but we've got to have knowledge too. We've got to have a good understanding of who God is. And that's something that we will always be striving for. It's never going to be something that we arrive. Oh, now I know everything that there is to know about the Bible. We're never going to get there. But we strive to gain knowledge and understanding about God. And where does that happen? It happens right here on a daily basis. It happens right here in God's Word. He's given us everything that pertains to life and godliness in His Word. And if we're not spending any time there, then we're not going to have the knowledge that we need. We could end up like the Jews that Paul's talking about here. All excitement, no understanding. And for all you know, you could be way off. You could be way off on some essential, important things that could put you in the category of unsaved because you don't have the right God. You don't understand the true and living God. So how can people be so excited about God and be so far off? Well, there's a process involved. There's a three-step process that Paul's going to talk to us about here. And it starts with, number one, being ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God. It starts with being ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God. The Bible says that our righteousness is like filthy rags. So even on our best day, with the best good deed, the best righteousness that we could possibly muster up and present to a holy and perfect God, it would be like giving Him used toilet paper. Something filthy and sick. And disgusting. That's what our righteousness is like, because we can't produce perfect righteousness. And that's what God requires. So we need the righteousness that comes from God, not from us. And what is the righteousness that comes from God? It's Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the righteousness that comes from God. God came to earth as a man to live the perfect and sinless life that we could have never lived. He died a sacrificial death on a cross in our place, and then rose again from the grave 3 days later, so that whoever would believe in Him would be made the righteousness of God. The Bible says that He who knew no sin became sin so that we could become the righteousness of God. Guys, when the Jews rejected Jesus Christ, they rejected the righteousness that comes from God. So what were they stuck with? Their own filthy rags. They weren't going to get them anywhere but hell. They were ignorant to the righteousness that comes from God. They chose to believe that Jesus Christ was not it. He was not the Messiah. He was not the righteousness of God. They rejected it. This is why it's important that we understand and explain the gospel to people. The whole gospel. We can't just say, Jesus loves you. Do you want to give your life to Him so that you can go to heaven? Sure, let's pray. We've got to talk about sin and the fact that God has a perfect standard of righteousness that He requires from us that we can't attain. We can't achieve the perfection that God requires from us apart from Christ. We've got to let people know that our righteousness doesn't come from within. We can't produce it. It comes from God. We receive the righteousness of God by grace through faith in Jesus Christ. People can't be ignorant to these things. They've got to know, we've got to know that righteousness only comes from God through Jesus Christ. Because if not, what happens? Well, the next step happens. They seek to establish their own righteousness. That's the second step. First, they are ignorant to the righteousness that comes from God, and then they seek to establish their own righteousness. See, when we're ignorant to the righteousness that God provides, we've got to try to establish our own, which is exactly what the Jews did. They took the law and made keeping it the way of salvation, when the Bible tells us that the purpose of the law is not to save us, but to show us how sinful we are and how impossible it is for us to meet the standards of God. It's supposed to show us our need for a Savior, not be our Savior. And it's when people today are ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God because they got some half-hearted gospel about, oh, just believe, you know, just come and give your life to Jesus and everything will be good. They didn't hear about sin. They didn't hear about how God deals with that and how righteousness comes from Christ. So they're thinking, well, I prayed a prayer and now I've got to produce my righteousness. I've got to establish my own righteousness. And then they try to do everything that's in the Bible and then they fail. And they're trying to pray all the time, but then they forget to pray. And they're trying to have a quiet time every day and read their Bible, but then they miss their quiet time. And it's just like they're failing. And what happens when they're trying to establish their own righteousness like that and they fail? They start to think, well, God doesn't love me because I can't do this. They think that their righteousness comes from within, that they have to establish their own righteousness. It's a tough way to live. Fighting a battle you'll never win because we'll never be perfect. And that's what it takes to be right with God. Perfection. And only when we are in Christ by grace through faith that we are seen in God's eyes as perfect. As Christians, we've got the righteousness that God provides. And it isn't dependent upon how much we read our Bibles or how much we pray or anything else, how much we're at church. Of course, we do those things. We do those things and we're obedient to the Lord because we love Him, not because we're trying to establish righteousness. Our righteousness comes from Christ. There are tons of verses in the Bible that encourage us to pray, that encourage us to read our Bibles, that encourage us to be in church and be in fellowship. But none of them say, do this or God doesn't love you anymore. Read your Bible or you're going to hell. None of it. See how God's righteousness is better than anything we could establish on our own? God's righteousness is sufficient. Ours is insufficient and it falls short. But the third step to being far from the truth is not submitting to God's righteousness. Not submitting to God's righteousness. Being ignorant of the righteousness that comes from God. Seeking to establish our own righteousness. And then not submitting to God's righteousness. Now, with the heart that Paul had for his people, you know he was sharing the gospel with them. Paul wasn't scared to share the gospel with the Jews, but they didn't submit to it. They didn't submit to it. They didn't believe. They wouldn't give up their own self-righteousness and filthy rags to believe in Jesus Christ. If they would have, verse 4 of this text tonight says, it would have been the end of their worthless attempts at trying to earn their own right standing with God. It would have been the end of it. When we repent of our sin and believe in Jesus Christ, it's done. Christ on the cross said, it is finished. He has attained our righteousness for us. But they didn't submit to it. And so, if you're in here tonight and you don't know the Lord, you don't have a relationship with God, you don't know for a fact that when you die, you are going to be with the Lord for eternity in heaven because you've put faith in Christ. If you don't have that tonight, then I would encourage you, don't be ignorant to the righteousness that comes from God. We've talked a lot tonight about the gospel. About how God provided His way of salvation through His Son, Jesus Christ. I've explained it tonight, and if you want to know more about it, talk to your leaders. They would love to tell you about the gospel and make sure that you're not ignorant to the righteousness that comes from God. And then don't stop trying to establish your own righteousness. Stop trying to come to church so that you can be right with God. Stop trying to read your Bible and do good things and pray so that you can be right with God. That doesn't make us right with God. We do those things because by faith in Christ we are right with God and we love God. And so we go to church so that we can worship God because we want to, not because it's earning our right standing with Him. When you try to establish your own righteousness, you're always going to fail. Stop trying to establish your own righteousness and then submit to the righteousness that comes from God. Submit to that righteousness. Once you understand the gospel, you understand the righteousness that comes from God and you say, I'm not going to seek to establish my own righteousness anymore, then submit to it. You submit to it by saying, okay, God, maybe I've never really spoken to You, but I want to talk to You now and I want to talk to You for the purpose of asking for forgiveness. I know that I'm a sinner. I know that I've blown it and I deserve hell. But I would ask God that You would forgive me because I believe the gospel. I believe that Jesus Christ, Your Son, came to this earth and died on the cross for my sin. I believe that. Now, transform my life. Help me to live for You. I want to just give my whole life to You. Everything that I am is Yours now. I repent. I turn from everything that I've been doing. All of my lying. All of my stealing. All of my drugs and alcohol or whatever it is. All of my sexual sin, I turn from it all and I turn to you. Pray a prayer like that, and that is submitting to the righteousness of God. And then seek out someone to help you. Seek out one of the leaders and say, hey, I gave my life to Christ. What do I do now? I'm stoked, but I don't want to be confused. Get involved in momentum. Start getting discipled. Keep coming to church and take notes when Kevin's teaching and just follow after the Lord with all of your heart. I pray that if you don't know Christ, then tonight that would happen. Heavenly Father, I thank you so much for the opportunity to be here tonight. And we thank you for the gospel. We thank you for providing our righteousness in Christ, because we can't establish our own righteousness. We are sinners. We've fallen short. We've broken all of your law. And apart from Christ, are worthy and deserving of hell. But because of your great love that you have for us, you sent your Son to die on the cross for us. Thank you for doing that, God. Help us to be bold about living for you. Change our hearts, change our desires. Make our desire be for the lost, that many would come to faith in Christ. Let that be our heart's greatest desire, as it was Paul's. And Father, I pray if there were any here tonight that walked in here, enemies of God because of their sin and rejection of Christ, that you, by your Spirit, by your grace, would change their hearts, that they would submit and receive the gift of eternal life through faith in Christ. In Jesus' name, amen. God bless you.